an area called Scripture Surfing if you're new with us here in the middle. And then on the back, we've got it listed day by day. But this is an offering for you. This is a way for you to individually spend time with the Lord and to read His Word through, to read the whole of His Word and not leave anything out and listen to what He's saying to you. And so we want to just have some readings from this past week's individual readings. So we'll look at this past Thursday and Friday's readings. And so turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1 as we began Deuteronomy. And if you're new at this, there should be a Bible beside you in the chair there. And Deuteronomy is near the beginning. You'll see Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, then you'll find Deuteronomy. You want Deuteronomy chapter 1. God tells us in verse 21 and 22, let me pray before we look at His Word. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. Thank You that it's living, that it's active. Lord, that You speak through it. Thank You for this privilege this morning, Lord, that we have opportunity to read Your Word together as You tell us in Your Word, to have the public reading of Your Word. Thank You that You will speak through Your Word. Lord, help us to be listening. Lord, make every one of our hearts soft and receptive and open to You, ready to hear what You have for us so that we can take it and not just walk away with it, but walk away and do it, Lord. Help us. Get me out of the way, Lord. Lord, may Your words come through me, not mine. Get me out of the way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 1, in verse 21 and 22, God's Word tells us this. See, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, told you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. If you're a believer here today, God has set you free. He's brought you out of a life of sin. He's set you free from the slavery of sin. And now He has an incredible land for you. He's got incredible plans for you that daily He wants you to go and take possession of. Are you listening to His instructions? And are you stepping out in faith and going no matter what the opposition? Chapter 2, verses 4 through 6 tells us this. Give the people these orders. You are about to pass through the territory of your brothers, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir. They will be afraid of you, but be very careful. Do not provoke them to war, for I will not give you any of their land, not even enough to put your foot on. I have given Esau the hill country of Seir as his own. You are to pay them in silver for the food you eat and the water you drink. I was reading in today's readings, Sunday's readings, God wants us to be very careful to obey all that He's commanded us. He gives specific instructions here. We need to listen carefully. Every moment we spend with the Lord, every moment we spend in His Word, we need to listen. Every moment we spend in a place like this, we need to listen carefully to what He's saying and obey every word that He gives us, all of His instructions. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Next, we turned and went up along the road toward Bashan. And Og, king of Bashan, with his whole army, marched out to meet us in battle at Edrei. The Lord said to me, do not be afraid of him, for I have handed him over to you with his whole army and his land. Do to him what you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon. God gave instructions. Go ahead and take him, no matter how big he looks. What problem are you facing? What looks impossible in your life? Is God saying, go ahead, do it, plow through. You see, He's your strength. God was their strength. Then in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, "Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you." You know, there's enough time in every day to do exactly what God is commanding you to do. No more, do not add to my word, do not take away from, no more and no less. Sometimes we get stressed out because we put about 20 more things on our schedule, on our to-do list than God says to do that day. Sometimes we do the less. Let's look at John in our New Testament readings. If you're new at this, that's the last third of your Bible is that New Testament. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And listen to John 12. Listen to 12:32. Jesus said this, "But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." Jesus was lifted up on that cross, and he said, "When I'm lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." Well, today, we can point to the cross. We can point to Jesus. He's been lifted up. We can point to him. We can mention his name. We can bring his name and that cross in any conversation. And he said, "I will draw all people to myself." Our job is to lift him up, to point to him. He does the drawing. Not your job to convince anybody. That's the Holy Spirit. And then in chapter 13, verses 6 to 8, "He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus replied, 'You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand.' 'No,' said Peter, 'you shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered, 'Unless I wash you, you have no part with me.'" That was God in the flesh, Jesus. That was God saying, "Let me stoop this low, Peter, and wash your feet." You can see why Peter was like, "No, you're never going to wash my feet." But you know what? That's what grace is. If we're ever going to be saved from our sins, if we're ever going to have eternal life, in a sense, you've got to let God stoop so low to serve you. That almost sounds blasphemous. That's what happened. God stooped so low that he came down to earth and he lived in this filthy world and he lived those 33 years and then he died on a nasty cross and he did all that serving you so that you could be his forever. And you got to receive it if you ever want to have eternal life. You got to do what he encouraged Peter to do here. "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." And then in Psalm 80, we read from that just a little while ago, but listen to Psalm 81, verse 2. Verse 1 and 2. We've already been doing this. Chris has been leading us, and the choir has been leading us in this. "Sing for joy to God, our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music. Strike the tambourine. Play the melodious harp and lyre." Well, we're here to praise him today. We've been praising him, and we want to praise him saying, "Hosanna in the highest" today. That's the perfect way to praise him today. Hosanna in the highest. And so turn with me to Luke chapter 21. Let's see it. Let's see it in action. Let's praise him today. Yes, through the music, but hey, let's praise him all day today. Saying that to him. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Look at Matthew chapter 21. And that's that, if you're new, that's that last third of the Bible, Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. Listen to these first 11 verses in Matthew 21. "As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? The crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Let's notice a few things about Hosanna in the highest. Praising God that way. Hosanna in the highest. First of all, what does it mean? In our young adult Bible study, we were looking at this last week. We watched a song on a video, a song called Hosanna, and we kind of worshipped with that a little bit. And somebody in the Bible study group said, What is Hosanna? What is it? Maybe that's your question this morning. Well, this was an old Hebrew expression that meant save, with an exclamation point. Save. But it came to be a praise. It came to be an acclamation of praise, a way to praise. Hosanna! Hosanna! And when you say Hosanna in the highest, what is that? Well, that's saying the highest you can go, Hosanna. That's saying this Jesus right here come in, Hosanna in the highest. That's saying, hey, all of heaven and everything above, let all of them say Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Let all of heaven say Hosanna for this one coming here. So that's what we're talking about. And that's what you're meaning. That's what I'm meaning when you say it all day today. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Jesus. That's what you're saying to him. So let's look at it a little more. Hosanna in the highest. How can we praise him like that? Well, you know Jesus. We can praise him for a number of things. You can go through the alphabet praising Jesus. But let's praise him for a few things right here in the text. Let's say this morning, Hosanna in the highest for prophecy fulfilled, for one thing. Hosanna in the highest for prophecy fulfilled. That's amazing. That's amazing. You can praise him. You can say Hosanna in the highest for just prophecy fulfilled. That's what's mentioned here in the beginning. As they approached Jerusalem and they came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, notice Jesus sent two of his disciples, verse 2, saying to them, gave them some instructions, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you. At once you'll find a donkey tied there. Untie him. Bring him here. Jesus gives in specific instructions. Jesus is God. So God gives the disciples some instructions. Here's the word of God. That's what it is. When Jesus speaks, that's the word of God. So here's the word of God. Here's what God's saying to you, disciples. Here's some instructions. And you know what? They did it. They obeyed Jesus just as he instructed them. And then he ended up with a donkey and getting on a donkey. And so he fulfilled prophecy. He spoke those words to his disciples. He gave them instructions. They obeyed and prophecy was fulfilled. Jesus said, it was kind of a little prophecy. Jesus said, here's what's going to happen. You're going to find somebody there. You'll find a donkey there. He was prophesying right then, a little prophecy. You'll find a donkey. This is what will happen. This, you do it. And then what happened? Prophecy was fulfilled. Jesus ended up with a donkey and he got him. And then all that little prophecy fulfilled, Jesus just given those instructions and it happened just like he said. That went to fulfill a much bigger prophecy. That went to fulfill a prophecy that Zechariah, God had given Zechariah the prophet in Zechariah 9:9. Hundreds of years before Jesus was ever here, probably close to 600 years ago, before this day, God had prophesied, saying, verse 5, this is what the prophet, that many years before Jesus was ever here, this is what the prophet wrote. This is what God gave the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So Jesus fulfills that prophecy as he comes riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Hosanna in the highest, for prophecy fulfilled. What about you today? What about you today? We see it today, all the time, in our own lives. Prophecy, praise Him for prophecy fulfilled. I'm talking about the little kind of prophecies. When God tells you something, He shows you something, reveals something to you, and you go and you do it. Here's an example. There's a sign upstairs in the food pantry and clothes closet. You walk upstairs, you hit this sign before you turn the corner. It says, from vision to reality. That's an example of a prophecy fulfilled today. Somewhere, somehow, God laid it on this church's heart to have a food pantry and a clothes closet. I wasn't here, but somehow God gave that word. And now it's going on. Every Wednesday it happens. It was prophecy fulfilled. God first speaks His word, and then prophecy can be fulfilled. What's He saying to you? What's He speaking to you that's supposed to be fulfilled? But it requires our obedience. Do this, do that. What instructions is He giving to you? What's He saying to you? Praise Him. Hosanna in the highest for prophecy fulfilled. How many times have you obeyed the Lord and it's gone just like He put it in your heart? Prophecy fulfilled. Let's also say this morning, Hosanna in the highest for Him coming to you. Wow, think about that. Hosanna in the highest for Him coming to you. You don't have to go to God and get to God somehow. Hosanna in the highest for Him coming to you. Wow, for Him coming to me. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. You don't just come to God. He comes to you. Nobody can come to me unless the Father draws him, Jesus said. You know, every religion and false teaching and every cult, every religion and false teaching in the world that I have ever seen, and you come and share it with me if you got one I'm not aware of, but every other religion, teaching, cult, whatever, that I have ever heard of is you as the adherent, you working your way to God somehow. You put forth a certain amount of human effort and then you can appease God. It's because of your human effort. You work the best you can and you do certain things and then you can get to God and maybe He'll be pleased with you. And it depends on the works of its adherence. That's what every other religion I've ever seen is. You got to do this and this and maybe God will accept you. But you see, the truth is, the single, solitary, only truth, true truth, if you can say that, is that God came to you. That's the truth. That's why it's so different and amazing and you could stumble over it because it's so amazing. God came to you. God comes to you. You see, religion is your blood, sweat, and tears to God. But truth, relationship, is God's blood, sweat, and tears to you. He came to you. That's what's being said here. Say to the daughter of Zion, verse 5, see, your king comes to you. Gentle and riding on a donkey. He came for you. That's what's going on when he's talking to Peter. And God is serving Peter and he says, I want to wash your feet. God says, let me wash your feet, Peter. I want to serve you. God was coming to Peter. Jesus was coming to Peter. He comes to you. And at first, Peter wouldn't even let him. No way. No, God's not going to serve me. He's not going to come to me. I got to go to God. That's what Peter's thinking. But then Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. See, God wants to come to you. That's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. God pays it. And so you've got to let Him come to you. You've got to receive that. Receive His gift. He served you when He went to that cross. He gave all for you. You know, and you know, we see it in Proverbs chapter 8. God comes to you. Sometimes we think, you know, we got to go out and search for God's wisdom and search for God. And listen to the beginning of Proverbs 8. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the entrances, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. Wisdom, God's Word. It just goes out. He sends His Word to you. You just have to ignore it or reject it or not believe it or something. How's He coming to you today? He's always trying to approach you with His love. What's He saying to you today? He's always trying to bring His message to you. But it's up to you. Sometimes it's a still small voice. Are you hearing it? What's He saying? How's He coming to you today? What's He saying to you? What did He say when He came to you this morning? What's He going to say this afternoon when He comes to you over and over throughout this day? Hosanna in the highest, for prophecy fulfilled, for Him coming to you, for who He is. Hosanna in the highest for who He is. Wow. Now remember, Hosanna in the highest. We're saying, okay, all of heaven, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, all the angels declare Hosanna for Jesus. So we're asking the Father, the Spirit, everybody praise this Jesus. Let me ask you something. If Jesus was anything less than God, could you say Hosanna in the highest? Father, praise Him. Something less than you? Jesus is Almighty God. He's God in the flesh. He was 100% God and He's 100% man. Read John chapter 1. That's just one place. The whole of Scripture declares that He's God. But so many teachings. That's how you declare whether something's a false teaching or not. Go to 1 John chapter 4. It tells you, see what they believe about Jesus. I'm paraphrasing. But what do they believe about Jesus? Do they believe He's fully God and fully man? If anybody ever says Jesus is something less than 100% God, that He is God in the flesh, forget it. It's a false teaching. It's a lie. Don't believe anything else they say. They don't know Him yet. They don't know Him yet. You could not declare all of heaven praise something less than God. You couldn't say all of heaven praise a prophet. That's what Islam says. Jesus is just a prophet. You couldn't say all of heaven praise this good teacher. He's a good teacher. All of heaven praise. He's not God. He's a God. That's what Charles Taze Russell led the Jehovah's Witnesses to put in their doctrine. He's a God. Or he's not God. He's the Son of God. I talked to somebody the other day that was telling me that. Anything less than God. These would all require lesser praise than Hosanna in the highest. Praise Him for who He is. Do you know He's God? If you're just now discovering that today, you don't know Him yet. Maybe if you just now believe that and realize that He's God, you need to come to Him. Because now you know who you're dealing with. Come to Him and get saved today. And finally, we need to say Hosanna in the highest for knowing Jesus now. Knowing Jesus now. At the very end of the passage we read, verse 10, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. You can say Hosanna in the highest this morning." If you know him personally, they're asking who he is. You may already know him. You may already have a relationship with him. Jesus Christ. You can say Hosanna in the highest this morning for knowing Jesus now. You know who it is. You know him personally. Or do you? Do you know him personally? You can, before you leave, walk out these doors. All you got to do is believe all these things. Believe in him. Trust in him. Call on him. Say, I want to know you, Jesus. Save me from my sins. I give my life to you. Wow, I believe you're all of this for the first time. I'm yours, Jesus. You just declare that with your heart. You go to him. He said, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And then when you walk out of here, you'll know him. You'll know him personally. Do you know him? Do you know him personally? Compare it to another relationship. Maybe you know your spouse real well. Maybe you know a child really well. Maybe you knew a parent really well. You had a relationship. Do you have that with Jesus? Do you know him personally? Like a spouse, or do you just know all about him? You know everything there is to know about Jesus. That's completely different than knowing him personally. So let's pray together. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for we say to you, Jesus, this morning, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, for fulfilling all these prophecies. For fulfilling prophecy right now in our lives, everything you tell us in our own hearts and spirits, and then you want us to get out and obey you, and then we see it turns out just like you said. May we hear your voice so we can obey you and see prophecy fulfilled every day. Lord, we praise you for coming to us, that Lord, we can just be still and know that he is God, and that you come to us constantly. May we listen to you. Give us eyes and ears of faith that we may know when you're coming to us throughout the day, every day. We praise you for who you are. And Lord, if there are any here this morning that have just come to know you for the first time, they believe all this. Lord, help them to be yours by calling out to you, just saying, Jesus, thank you. Wow, Hosanna in the highest. I praise you. I thank you that you came for me. I know that I'm a sinner, but I thank you that you took my punishment, the death penalty in hell that I'm supposed to get for my sins. You took it. I believe you did, Lord. And I thank you. And I believe you're raised from the dead. And I ask you to be my Savior, my Lord. I want to know you personally. I give you my life. Help me to follow you. Father, if there's anyone here who, Lord, needs to join this church, Lord, maybe that's the prophecy that's to be fulfilled. Maybe you've been speaking that to them, that this is where you want them. Lord, help them to obey whatever you've put in people's hearts. If it's to join this church, if it's something else, something you've put in their heart, do this or don't do this or stop this or whatever. Lord, may that prophecy be fulfilled. May each of us obey you and see the results. We love you, Jesus. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, if you made that decision today, if you just called on the Lord, if you've just today, you've asked him to save you, come into your life, then as Chris leads us in this song, come and share that with us. Come, step out of your seat and come and follow him. Jesus asked everybody that ever followed him to publicly follow him. Not just keep it to yourself, but to publicly follow him. Maybe there's some other decision he's laid on your heart. You do it as Chris leads us, whatever the Lord tells you.